The scripture lesson comes today, the second one, from the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Hear the word of God. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, the one who curses you I will curse, and you and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So Abram built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. And from there, Abram moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. It is mid-season when it comes to commencement addresses. On this campus and on every campus, at colleges and high schools everywhere, speaker after speaker after speaker stands before the graduating class and the audience full of family and friends. It is a well-studied, or at least a well-worn, genre, the commencement address. When I was in high school, the 4 years included two long labor disputes, two teachers' strikes. My senior year, we did not begin classes until after Thanksgiving. In order to get the state-required number of days, classes were held on some holidays, including New Year's Day. Not many students went to class that day. At graduation in very late June of 1980, I was one of the speakers, and I began with a quote from Hall of Fame baseball player Rod Carew, a quote that I read in his biography. Carew wrote, "I'm a better hitter with two strikes." No? This spring, commencement addresses include college graduates now looking for jobs, booing commencement speakers, who are singing the praise of AI despite the projections of the impact on the human workforce. Commencement addresses have context, and commencement addresses in general are rather formulaic. Congratulations, remember, a few bits of wisdom for the journey, and now, please, go. Go and make a difference, and by all means, it's time to go. Go and learn more, go and do, go and be, go and live, but yes, it's time to go. The genre of the commencement address, when it functions well, when it meets the occasion, it serves to signify that the gathering is not an end, but a beginning. Go. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go." And it is the beginning, God's call of Abraham here in Genesis after the stories of creation and the Garden of Eden and Cain and Abel and Noah and the Ark and the Tower of Babel. The Lord says to Abram, "Go." It's not the very beginning in terms of Scripture, but it is the beginning of the promise, the covenant, God's covenant with God's people. It is the beginning of the pilgrimage, the journey of faith for the people of God, for Abram and Sarai and their family, the beginning of their lives as immigrants, the beginning of their life of following God and discerning their life in God. It begins when the Lord says, Go. In typical commencement addresses, the graduates are the intended audience, tend to be the subjects of most of the sentences. You go and you do. You go and you work. You go and you come back. You go and you earn. You go and you give back to the annual fund. You go and make this blasted world a better place. But notice that God's speech to Abram differs when it comes to the most used pronouns. Go and I will show you. Go and I will bless you. Go and I will make you a great nation. Go and I will make your name great. Go and I, God said. Here in Genesis 12, the promise begins with God's speech, God's word. And with such an abundance of I's, the notion that it all begins with God is pretty clear. Abram's response only underscores the intended focus on God. After the Lord's speech act, Abram is noticeably silent. God said, go, so Abram went. No speech from Abram. No words, no chat with an angel, no here I am, Lord, no song, no canticle. Abram went. Abram goes. He went, he departed, and Abram took, and Abram set forth, and Abram passed through, and Abram built, and Abram moved on, and Abram pitched, and Abram built, and Abram invoked, and Abram journeyed on. The Lord said, go, and Abram went. Abram's silence is drowned out by his action. Actually, the first time Abram speaks in this Hebrew Bible narrative, the first time he speaks in the Bible period, he gets himself in trouble. That's such a guy thing. As the story is told in the second half of Genesis 12, Abram and his family flee to Egypt because there was a famine in the land. And according to Scripture, Abram went down to Egypt to reside there as an alien. And in order to protect himself from Pharaoh's hand, he hatches a plan to pass Sarai off as his sister, handing her over to Pharaoh's house. Abram figures that if they knew she was his wife, they would just kill him and take her away. So the first words Abram speaks are to Sarai. I know how beautiful you are. Can't you just tell him you're my sister? And humankind should have learned forevermore that when you go, it's not that easy to get out of your own way. And the way is never cut and dried. And humans are always going to human. That even when you go as the Lord has commanded you, your own self-centered sinfulness is never far away. Your own self-centered sinfulness is never far away. And even for Father Abraham, the first steps of his journey were mixed with obedient sacrifice and self-preserving, misogynistic deceit. When Abram went, he brought it all. He brought it all with him, including the depth of his humanity. Yes, the scripture tells of him bringing family and possessions. And that includes the jarring verse that I read that tells he also brought the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. A more recent contemporary translation tries to soften that a bit. It reads, those who became members of their household in Haran. But the choice of words doesn't change the likely ancient history that enslaved people were part of what Abram brought along on the journey to Canaan, a journey to a land already occupied by the Canaanites, of course, the indigenous people of the land of Canaan. Yes, when God told Abram to go, and Abram went, when Abram passed through the land of Shechem to the oak of Moreh, he brought it all with him. When Abram built an altar to the Lord, he had it all with him. When he moved on to the hill country east of Bethel, he had it all with him. When Abram journeyed by stages toward the Negev, he brought absolutely everything of what it meant to be human, the songs of praise and the fleshiness of life, a worshiping heart and yet one dripping with sinfulness, a daring obedience, and everything that defines what John Calvin called our total depravity. Yes, Abram brought it all. But Abram went. The Lord said to Abram, go. The Lord said to Abram, go. And Abram's response was wordless. Abram went, Abram goes. He went, he departed, and Abram took, and Abram set forth, and Abram passed through, and Abram built, and Abram moved on, and Abram pitched, and Abram built, and Abram invoked, and Abram journeyed on. The Lord said, go, and Abram went. It's hard for a preacher to admit, one who makes a living with words, but according to Scripture, Abram never said a word. Going means going. Going means living. Going means action. Going implies sacrifice. Responding to the very promise of God with the fullness of life. Responding to the very promise of God has to be more than just words, this going thing. When it comes to God and God's promise in and to and through our lives, going, it has to have some oomph to it. That's a theological word, oomph. A memorial service was held yesterday for Barb Flythe, a longtime member of the Witherspoon Street Church. The reception afterwards was held here in the assembly room. And the service felt like a gathering of three congregations, really: Witherspoon Street, Westminster and Trenton, and Nassau. It was as if Barb Flythe was a member of all three. And there were times not all that long ago when Barb was the sole link between these three congregations. She was one of the founding members of the Bending the Moral Arc groups of members of Witherspoon Street and Nassau that have difficult, for 3 years now, have been having difficult and vulnerable congregations about racial reconciliation. She was the force behind the documentary made a few years ago that tells about the fraught history and hopeful future of the relationship of Nassau and Witherspoon Street. And of course, behind it all was Barb Flythe's faith-filled commitment to justice and equity for all, proclaimed by the Hebrew prophets and the kind of world painted by the gospel teaching of Jesus. Barb Flythe was a goer. Her journey of faith had some oomph. Last Sunday morning before worship, back in the narthex, both Alan Olson and Scott Harmon were coming into the sanctuary, and I asked them, hey, how did loaves and fishes, how did it go on Friday night and Saturday? Twice a year, members and friends of Nassau prepare a hot meal to be served at St. Mary's Cathedral in Trenton. And the report was over the top. Lots of veteran volunteers, a really good batch of new folks. Lots of folks served and then given lunches and leftovers to go. And then one of them even said, we almost had too many volunteers. When have you ever heard that about a congregation's turnout? Nassau Church, that's some oomph. If you have a chance, you should check out the Great Wall, the bulletin board outside the assembly room directly behind me. It's a snapshot of life at Nassau Church in May, June, July, and August, both here and out in the world. Two loaves and fishes events, a visit to the Farminary, and a joint choir concert, both celebrating God's gift of creation. A winter coat drive for international students at Princeton Seminary, a trip with the Appalachia Service Project, school supplies together with Westminster Church. In large letters at the top of the Great Wall, it says, start where you are, and every opportunity has a QR code. The big words could also just say, go. Or perhaps, go, Nassau, go. Go, Nassau, go. Go, Nassau, go. I couldn't help myself. Over the last several weeks, we have had several visits from candidates running for various offices in last Tuesday's election. And as I spoke to them afterwards, I apologized for not introducing them in worship, that while some traditions might do that in election seasons, Presbyterians do not. And all of them were very gracious and were able to mingle on the front plaza or in coffee hour between services. And every one of them thanked me for all this congregation does in the wider community. What you do in this community and beyond. That's going with some oomph. Thanks be to God. In Matthew's gospel, when Jesus calls the disciples, he says, "Come, follow me." In Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Come." And you'll remember from last week, in Matthew's gospel, at the end, what does Jesus say?
Go.
Presbyterians are horrible at call and response. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The Lord Jesus, come and go. It is Christ our Savior who invites us to come to this table, to the feast he has prepared. He invites us here to be nourished by his grace and to bask in his real presence in order that, so that, we might then go.